thousands of chins tilted back as the large, pale biplane lumbered heavily into the damp morning above the French capital. Clearing the airfield, it began a smooth, climbing left turn away from the clouds darkening the eastern horizon. Called L'Oiseau Blanc, or the White Bird, the Levasseur PL-8 had been built for a single purpose: to be the first powered aircraft to fly more than 3,600 miles nonstop across the Atlantic Ocean between Paris and New York. Thunder rumbled in the distance, and the plane continued turning northwest, its chalk-colored wings very plain against the gray clouds. Brighter was a brief splash of yellow from the cockpit as L'Oiseau Blanc rolled up steeply over the little village of Gonesse. Even though they were expecting it, the crowd gasped when the undercarriage suddenly detached, tumbling through the air into the wet fields below. Jettisoning the 270-pound landing gear was a well-publicized part of the plan, as this reduced weight and drag and saved precious fuel. Besides, wheels weren't necessary to land on water, and that was precisely what the two Frenchmen intended to do: set the White Bird down in New York Harbor beneath the Statue of Liberty and claim the $25,000 Ortega prize for the first nonstop flight from Paris to New York. It was audacious. Yet in 1927, no less was expected from Charles Eugène Jules Marie Nungesser and François Colly, France's leading aviators. Both men had been French Air Service fighter pilots, with Nungesser finishing the Great War as France's third highest scoring ace. When asked about the dangers of the transatlantic flight, Nungesser calmly replied, "A coup volant rien d'impossible. To the valiant heart, nothing is impossible." Handsome and scarred, Nungesser had a panache and contemptuous disregard for danger that personified the image of French military manhood. He inspired adoring coverage by the French press, who seemed to love everything about the former race car driver, stunt pilot, and military hero. After the war, he had married Consuelo Connie Hatmaker, a glamorous American heiress, and starred in The Sky Raider, a Hollywood motion picture. The world, particularly France, adored him, and never more than that May morning as he set out to conquer the unconquerable Atlantic Ocean. When the biplane rolled out to level flight, the proud red, white, and blue tricolor could be easily seen on the tail. Less visible was the black heart painted on the fuselage just aft of the open cockpit. Though the crowd couldn't see the details, they knew Nungesser's Cournoir well: a white skull and crossbones surmounted by a coffin and flanked by a pair of lighted candles. It was a personal crest emblazoned on his silver Newport 17 fighter during the war, showing Nungesser's blatant challenge toward mankind's greatest mortal fear: death. Heading northwest, the plane disappeared into the chilly dawn, the roar of its Lorraine Dietrich engine fading as it flew on toward Normandy. Without an enclosed cockpit, both men were hunched down out of the cold air behind a large 4.5-foot windscreen. Their bright yellow heavy weather flying suits were fur-lined and electrically heated to stave off freezing winds aloft. Nungesser's navigator, François Colly, was on the right side, seated a bit behind and slightly lower than the pilot. During the war, Colly had lost an eye, thus acquiring the nickname the One-Eyed Devil, but he had also once been a sea captain and was intimately familiar with maritime navigation, particularly in the North Atlantic. An accomplished pilot himself, Colly was a superb navigator, and it was he who had worked out the route's details. Colley's tools included the very latest technical instruments: a ground speed indicator that corrected the airspeed indicator for wind, a Le Prieur navigraph to give surface alerts over water, and a Coutinho sextant for astral navigation. Gago Coutinho, the Portuguese aviator who'd first flown across the South Atlantic in 1922, had modified a maritime sextant with an artificial horizon so it could be used effectively in flight. But the navigator's main instrument was the large Krauss-Maurel compass. In L'Oiseau Blanc, it was horizontally mounted, similar to a binnacle that Colly would have used aboard ship. Placed in front of the stick, both men could see it plainly and follow the plotted course. Day or night, with clear skies, Coley could also check their position trigonometrically using his sextant. With the precise heading, two chronometers for measuring elapsed time, and a ground speed indicator, the white bird's position would always be known.